drink with me. Hey!
Welcome to Have a Drink With Me. I'm your host, Dylan Polniak, and joining me today is comedian Ronnie Pascal. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dylan. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
Me too. I was just telling you before, most of the time when I do this, I'm meeting the person 5 minutes before we go live. It's not very often I have a guest on that I've met in person. Even in the last 9 years of doing this show, a lot of it was, hey, I do this show where we drink, we talk about random shit. Do you want to do it? People are like, yeah, let's fucking get into it.
Yeah. You sold me at drink. I would come on, even if we knew each other for more than 5 minutes before, I'd be like, yes, drink. Drink it is.
Perfect. Yeah, it's funny because how the show works is I pick the topic and then the guest picks what we're drinking. And my wife and I were just talking about this before, how interesting it is that we're going to talk about college and the fact that you are currently a sophomore. But we're drinking wine, which is very much not a college drink. What is it that you're drinking?
So I went to my local bodega. I live in LA now. I don't know if they call it a bodega here, but I got some Merlot. I pick my wine. I don't know about wine. I just pick it based on the label, and I like this label.
You and I are going to be very good friends because, not that I grabbed the same one, but I picked it because there's a snake on the label.
Oh my God.
And this is a Sideshow The Charmer all the way from Australia. It's a spicy Shiraz.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
I don't know what to expect, but I will drink this entire bottle in the 45 minutes or so that we're doing this episode.
Okay. So I don't even need a cup is what you're telling me.
You don't need one if you don't want one. Yeah. I'm not going to use a cup. Straight to the lips.
The thing that I like about mine is it's not Italian, but it's Italian style.
Yeah.
So it's I bought it because like I grew up Italian blood, but I grew up here. So I'm like not really Italian, but Italian style person.
Yeah. New York, Jersey.
Yeah. All those places.
The Sopranos. Yeah. That's the American Italian.
Gabagool.
Yeah. Gabagool. Hey, Maron.
Hey, Maron.
I love it. So cheers. We'll get into this. Cheers to you.
Cheers. Mine's so fancy that I got a twist off cap. How cool is that? Oh, there's two levels. I've never seen this before. There's a freshness cap and my twist off cap.
That's great. Then you know that it's good. It's double protected.
Dylan, no, I was wrong. It was the cap fell out.
Oh, okay.
I
thought you were going to say, nope, there's a cork inside as well. Shout out to Peace Blaster joining the show. He's watching live. So why did you pick wine?
So I think I started drinking wine. So I'm a 38-year-old college sophomore, I think we mentioned a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when I first started doing college, I tried college like as an 18, 19-year-old. And my grandmother and I would sit and drink wine after class. And like terrible box wine. Like my grandma's the kind of an Italian that would use like jarred sauce but wouldn't tell anyone. So I just outed her like 70-something secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. The family recipe is for our family was called Prego.
Yep. Oh, you're from the Prego clan as well. Very nice.
Yeah, the Prego clan. Love the Prego clan. Shout outs.
And Ragu. What up, Ragu?
I love Ragu. Chat.
So wine's like a childhood thing then. So
wine's a childhood thing. Yeah. It makes me feel comfortable. I think I like switched from beer to wine because I was like, I need something a little stronger, but not like tequila or whiskey get wasted every day.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not a wine fan. I don't really care for it, but every once in a while my wife will be having it and I'll just pour myself a glass. But I think I need to change the style of the show for the next season where I give a list of drinks that we could do because there would have been nothing better than shotgunning beer this entire episode. Ooh, we could shotgun a bag of wine.
I would love that more than I've never done that. So like if we were playing Never Have I Ever, I wouldn't put a finger down. I would have to wait. How does that work? I would not put a finger down.
Yeah, you would not put a finger down. Are you saying for shotgunning a beer or shotgunning a bag of wine?
I think maybe both. I think I shotgunned a Red Bull once when I really did college, but
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get you there.
Very yeah, hyper. That got me. I remember that day vividly. Mm-hmm. I drank. I'm from New Haven, Connecticut originally. They have a famous punk rock venue called Toad's Place, and I shotgunned two Red Bulls when they were like first coming out, and I got so hyper, an adrenaline rush, that I threw up in the bathroom. And while I was doing that, the singer from Papa Roach was like, "Don't worry, man, I've been there before." I think he thought I was
drunk. I've got wings too, buddy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I feel like I can't think of a better person to come and talk to me at that moment than the singer of Papa Roach. Like, yeah, he's probably like, this guy's on his last leg. Keep your head up, Ronnie. And like became your friend, and he went home and he's just like had a fucking great
holding
time.
My hair back.
Yeah. He's like trying to hold you down because you're floating. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So I shotgun a lot of beer. And I've got neighbors that are all, you know, pretty good drinkers. So we'll just be like, "Hey, it's noon. Should we just gun one real quick and walk to each other's place? We'll gun a beer and then head home and go back to like our 9-to-5 jobs." And
oh my god, that sounds amazing!
So I want to do a Have a Drink with Me episode, shotgunning beer.
Oh yeah, I'm in. And we live like kind of near each other, right? So
I would assume so. I mean, LA's as big as LA is, it's still
pretty small. It's small. Yeah. So we, if you need another guy there, I'll be there.
We'll do a second college. We'll do a junior year episode of this, and that'd be great.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah,
we threw a house party. My wife and I did. 2022, and like I shaved my facial hair to just be this, and I had like my bangs down, and we tried to do like a high school themed house party, and there was like slap the bag of wine, there was a box wine, we had beer pong and stuff, and now I want to do that again, but for my daughter's first birthday in July, because ooh, I think that'd be funny to throw a house party for our 1-year-old. We'll see if I can get that to happen. But
yeah.
So you got a Merlot, you said?
It's a it's a Merlot that says Terra Siciliana on it. So I think it's fancy. I don't know. It was like $6.
Yeah, I went with I think mine was $6.99. I went a little more expensive. And it's a 2022, so it's still fresh.
That's what they say. The fresher the wine, the better.
Yeah. It's, I don't care for wine. It just tastes like bad fruit, but
yeah,
I do.
How
like
you enjoying it so far?
Feel. Yeah. What's that?
Are you enjoying it so far though?
It's wine. I think wine just all tastes the same. Like, I don't know the difference between a Merlot, Cabernet. I just know that there's red wine and there's white wine.
Mm-hmm.
And the white wine tastes better.
Yeah, I mean, just maybe this makes me feel better though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
It gives me like a warm, cozy hug afterwards.
Yeah. Oh, I do like the warm hug.
Yeah.
When I first moved to LA in 2011, and you know, living in Van Nuys, cheap ass apartment, doing freelance graphic design work, and I would go and buy like the $2 Chuck. Mm-hmm. Chuck Schwab wine, and to like pregame going out, I would pound a bottle of wine, and then I don't know if it was Uber then, but you know, I would take like the metro and stuff to downtown and the bus and shit. Chug a bottle of wine, and then you're out and about, and you feel fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I moved to New York City around the same time you moved to LA, and it was just so much. At that time, I was drinking whiskey because I was making dumb life choices, and it was like 5 or 6 glasses of whiskey a day for like 3 years, and then at one point, I was just like, my liver is disintegrating before me.
Yeah. Well, luckily, my wife makes sure that I do a yearly physical every year. So they check my liver and everything. And I'm like, cool, I can do another episode of Have a Drink with Me. I'm good.
Yeah. If and anything, you do this once a week.
My liver's getting stronger. Yeah, every Thursday. Every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. For season 5, I'm going to do one a month. But for now,
smart.
I'm going to do this. And I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Except, you know, last week I did Bloody Marys, which are good. So we did one big Bloody Mary. This one, I'll do the big bottle of wine. I don't know what I'm drinking next week. The guest hasn't told me yet. But I always had an issue with getting headaches with wine. One glass, headache, whole bottle, headache. It was all the same. Did you ever run into that issue?
Yeah, I think you have to like start building up your immunity, right? Like you have to get your antibodies in your body. Yeah. And then at one point, your body is just like, I guess this is part of it now.
Yeah. All right, we'll save the headaches for something else. this is the body we all live in.
Yeah.
So you have a new show. It's fairly new, right? The Roast Yourself?
Yeah, kind of. So the origin story is I ran it on Zoom during lockdown. I did improv for many years, and then right before, so like the end of 2019, I was like, I'm going to switch solely to doing stand-up now. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't time out perfectly good. And so I had like 4 months of doing stand-up before lockdown. And I got kind of bored pretty quickly. So I was doing all of the Zoom shows. And then one day there was like a Facebook memory and it was just like me looking stupid or something. I don't remember exactly. And then I just commented of like, look, I look like a piece of shit right now. Mm-hmm. And then someone else goes, oh, look at Ronnie roasting himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it like sparked this idea for a show in my head. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to do a show where comedians roast themselves.
That's great.
And yeah. So during Zoom, the Zoom era, we did it probably like 30 times. Oh, wow. And then I got burnt out. And then like 2 months ago, we just did the second live one 2 nights ago or 3 nights ago. I don't know what time is anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah, same.
And so, yeah.
It's January something. So
yeah, it's January 6th, 2021. And I'm about to go have some fun.
Yeah.
That old saying. Yeah. Yeah. terrible joke. You don't have to laugh at that.
Goodbye, everybody. ending this quickest Have a Drink With Me episode at 12 minutes and 46 seconds.
Yes. I love it.
I think it's such an interesting concept. Do you guys have judges? Or how does it work? Do people vote at who talks shit about themselves the best?
Yeah. So when we did it on Zoom, I had judges. And throughout the show, people would get eliminated. Mm-hmm. And as you know, LA sucks to drive in, so I feel bad that people drive to my show and like there's that idea that they might get eliminated. So my empathetic side is like, no one gets eliminated till the end.
That's
but then beautiful. Everyone gets eliminated all at once, and so no one actually wins. Yeah,
that's good. Fun. Yeah,
industry
send them
secret.
All home together.
Yeah.
Ooh, you guys heard it first here on Have a Drink with Me. You're all eliminated.
Everyone's eliminated. No one actually wins with self-deprecation.
I think everybody wins.
That's true, too. It's either everyone or no one.
Smart that everyone loses, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We all lose in the end.
Nice beard hair on my tongue. life is fun. So you are a 38-year-old sophomore in college.
Mm-hmm.
You tried college back when you were 18, correct?
Correct.
So did you just do like your freshman year and then you're picking up where you left off, or did you do a lot more?
So I did the whole like trying to do college right after, and I had no idea what I wanted to do, as we all, I feel like that's not an original story, but I was like, I'm going to be an accountant. Like every semester I had a different thing I wanted to be when I grew up. Yeah. And then I like got, my mom died when I was originally like doing college, and I was like, I know that I should be sad about it, and I was very sad, but it also was like, yes, now I go quit college.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I would love to hear that eulogy.
Yeah.
But hey, here's the good side of things, okay, everybody. She lived a wonderful life. Beautiful human, a loving mother. But hey, school's out, baby.
School is out. Don't go here anymore, bro. Yeah, I feel like there was this humiliating aspect of trying college because the community college in my hometown is called Gateway. And there's something very humiliating about a school called Gateway because it's a community college where they're like, these are the dum-dums. This is their gateway to the future, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially your 13th year of high school, grade 13.
Yeah.
I can already see my teeth starting to get purple.
My tongue might be there. Oh, I didn't realize my broom was just chilling in the background. That's embarrassing.
Shout out to the broom.
Shout out to the broom. I was trying to be clean today. Yeah, so I tried college.
Yeah.
And then I got bored after lockdown, or like during lockdown. So I started doing Zoom college, which Zoom college isn't fun. Like, what are like the frat parties during Zoom college, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough. That's incredibly rough. So wait, so during lockdown, you did your freshman year over, or you started?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't tell them because it was a community college. I didn't tell them that I had prior experience because I had a 1.7 GPA in my first go of college. And I was like, that is pitiful. And then I was afraid that I wouldn't even be able to get into Los Angeles City College. So I didn't even tell them. I only sent them my high school transcript and acted like I was a brand new student.
Yeah. Did you show up with like a disguise? Like you had the glasses with the nose and the mustache being like,
yeah,
hey, I'm Ronald Pascal. I'd like to be in college for the first time. Don't look me up.
My social security is an X.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, cool.
I enjoyed college when I started. I graduated high school a year early because I lived in Northern New York and I wanted to get away from the snow. So I moved to Orlando, and instead of going to an Orlando college, I went to an online school that I got suspended from.
What?
For being a bad boy in the chat. We had to do, so I went to school for graphic design, illustration, and I had a color theory class where the teacher literally wanted 17 and 18 year old kids, and some people were older, you know, in their 30s. Mm-hmm. To do a finger painting of the color wheel and to show that you know how colors mix to make certain colors. I didn't do it. And the teacher called me out in the chat being like, hey, great job, everybody. Except Dylan. Dylan, you didn't do the project. And I was like, you bitch. Calling me out in front of a bunch of people I don't know. So I said... Like, I was pissed off. I was 17. I didn't fucking know better. And I was like, I am a fucking adult. I am not doing a fucking finger painting of the color wheel. Are you serious? Teach us something of value. And so they immediately revoked access for my account. Suspended from an online art college. And so I had to write a letter to the teacher being like, look, I'm sorry. I just was expecting, I was expecting too much too fast and blah, 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 whatever. So I got back into the school and I continued for another year. And then I switched colleges to a real school, Ringling School of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida, which is like top tier artists go to. You look at I'm gonna give a shout out to Justin Harder. He's been on the show before. He's from Ringling. He did all the ending credits of Deadpool, you see cartoon Deadpool running around. And I've got a picture up on my wall. You can't see it though, but he drew a Deadpool with a heart on it. It says have a drink with this. So like people leave and do great things from this school. So I was incredibly excited to go there. It's like $60,000 a year. Insane. Then somebody stole my art portfolio. So like my big portfolio, you you know, over your shoulder yeah. and you carry it like a merce. And so I didn't have anything to show for at the end of the semester. So tail between my legs, just went back to Orlando, switched back to the online school, basically finished it up. And I had like one more class I had to take, and they were charging me for two other classes that I did not take. And they were saying that I owed like $8,000. And I was like, I'm not paying that. And they're like, well, we're not going to release your transcripts. You aren't getting your diploma or anything. So basically, I have to pay this school $8,000 and take one more class to get that final credit. Oh. But it's like, yeah. Does it even matter? I finished school in 2010. Like, I was supposed to graduate 2010. Uh-huh. I had one more class to take, but now I'm like, not even, it doesn't make sense. So
yeah,
I was under the same thing as you, is you finish high school. Okay. You finish high school, you fucking go to a good college, you get a good job, you meet a girl at the age of 20, you give her kids.
You give us so many kids. I mean, yep. My mom had me when she was 19, so I was supposed to have kids young. And my mom had 5 kids by the time she was the same age as me. My grandma was this age when I was born. So it was like, yeah, you got to give them kids.
Yeah, you got to give them the gabagool.
Got to give them the gabagool.
Yeah, a similar situation. My parents were like 19 when they had my oldest brother. And then they were 24 by the time they had their fourth kid, me. Then my brothers all by like 24 all had their kids and whatever. One of my brothers, one of them had him a little bit later, but now I'm 35 and I just had my first kid in July.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I don't need college to be happy.
No.
I don't need college to have a kid.
I'm from the streets. I thought my college wasn't good, and then I just looked at its alumni list, and I was like, oh my god, there's like famous people that went to Los Angeles City College, so maybe one day I'll be on.
Any names?
Yeah, so Alan Arkin, Albert Brooks, that's the name. Clint Eastwood went to the same college as me.
Ooh.
Lawrence Fishburne, Morgan Freeman. I knew Morgan Freeman. I'll tell you a fun story about Morgan Freeman, kind of. It's not fun. I made a movie. So I went to, similar to you, I went to college online for film school. It was like online film school. Mm-hmm. And for last semester, or 2 years ago, I don't even remember time now. I've been taking classes very slowly, as you could tell. Yeah. And I was doing the film program, and I made a short film. It was 5 minutes. It was really dumb. It was called Rideshare, and it was about a dude who wanted to be a serial killer but didn't know how to go about it, so he became an Uber driver to find his first like victim, right? Mm. And I shot it all on this very cell phone right here, because it was all during lockdown. And I won best short film at LACC 2 years ago.
Congrats. That's
and awesome. Thank you. I was like, oh my god, this is my ticket. I'm going to be famous. Mm-hmm. And so they picked a date. It was like the end of December of, I think, 22. I don't remember what time is anymore, as we established. And they're like, we're going to screen this film. And our theater at the school is called the Morgan Freeman Theater. And I was like, oh my god, people who don't know are going to be like,
you, Morgan Freeman?
The Morgan Freeman.
Not just the janitor who was like, who died.
Yeah. The janitor who's pushing this very broom right here.
Yeah. Morgan Q. Freeman.
So all of my friends and family show up for this screening. There's like 200 people there because they're showing like 10 separate short films. Yeah. And I was so excited. And then they're about to show the film. And then they don't call us into the theater yet. We're all still waiting in the lobby. And this goes on for way too long. So I think the movie's supposed to start at 7. At 8 o'clock, we're still sitting in the lobby. And they're like, just kidding, everyone. The projector broke. No one gets to screen any of their films. And they're like, the consolation prize is we're going to send everyone's short film to people to watch on their own time. And I was like, no one watched. Nobody watched that thing.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's like, I know. I think that is like the only way I would go back to school is to do film. for those specific reasons, to do a fun project, to do the screening, to like be proud of, you know, that work and get to show it. You got robbed.
I now work as a production assistant for film festivals, and I get excited when like these big directors get to show their movie for the, like, they're like, the other day we had Mel Brooks show Spaceballs, and Mel Brooks is like, I haven't sat through Spaceballs in 20 years. And I was like, oh, lucky fucking him. He gets to like sit through his movie and listen to people laugh. And I was like, I got robbed. You're I didn't so get to watch. Yeah. No one got to watch Rideshare.
Can I see it?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, but I hid it. So if you ask nicely, I'll send you the link later.
Pretty please, can I have the link?
Oh, but I do have this that I bought for it.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Man, that's heartbreaking.
I know.
I was I did a screenwriting competition for Final Draft's Big Break in 2018 or 2019, and I was like quarter finalist or something. I was like, this is my big break. And then I realized everyone's a quarter finalist in every writing fucking thing. So yeah, I wrote this kid's show, like a family adventure show. And it was like, you're number 10 in the top 10 list of family adventure on Coverfly. And I was like, here we go, my big break. And it's like, it doesn't fucking matter, because in 10 minutes, somebody else is going to, you know, do it. It's
similarly, when I was a kid, I would write poetry secretly in the back of my notebooks, and I found this website, I think it was poetry.com or like something very like simple like that, and you would send them your poetry and they would publish it on their website. And then one day they sent me a letter that say, you've been selected. We're going to include you in our book of poetry upcoming. So if you send us $50, you get a hardcover copy of this book. And what I realized at the I didn't realize till years later, and I'm glad I never bought it. They're like, oh, they do that for anyone who says I want to be in the book. Yeah. It's the only people buying that book.
Hey, I bet it was incredible. And I would also pretty please like that poem. I would like to have that sent to me with the link for Rideshare. I will read and watch tonight. I'm going to put my daughter down for bed tomorrow night to your poem. Mm-hmm.
If I could even find it. I wonder if they like still have. I'm looking right now.
They better.
Because I haven't thought about this. Oh my God, it's not there no more.
We'll send another $50. We've got a link up. People can see. You can donate to donate.imdielawn.com. Any donations tonight will go toward publishing Ronnie Pascal again in this book. Accounting the first major that you were going into?
Yeah, I was split between accounting because I wanted to make my stepdad happy. And sure. I also wanted to do law. So I took half law classes, half accounting classes, got a 1.7 and realized I wasn't cut out for either of those.
Yeah.
And then I took, what is math, 20 years off. And then I was like, or like 18 years off. And then I was like, I'm going back to college out of boredom. And now, since I've come back, I got my certificate in screenwriting at LACC, not to brag or anything.
Yeah, congrats.
And now, now the focus is sociology, because I'm like, I don't think there's any money in screenwriting.
Yeah. There's a lot of people just saying, hey, Hollywood doesn't need any more talent.
And yeah, no, Hollywood doesn't need
it's
this.
It's true. It's very true. Yeah, it's, but if you still love doing it, like, I don't make money from Have a Drink with Me. I'm slowly building up what YouTube owes me for Have a Drink with Me. But it's like, I love this. I love, you know, drinking and having fun conversations. So it's the same thing with like screenwriting. I love writing.
Yeah.
Same thing with filming. I love doing it. So I'll keep doing it. I already have a job that pays my insurance and my daughter's insurance and, you know, whatever. It pays my bills. So cool. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to continue to do what I moved out here to do. So, drinking. I want to get back into drinking a little bit. So, did you party much your first time around in school before the online phase?
Yes and no, but yes, kind of. So, I have a story for you that I hope you like. And it's about the drunkest I've ever been. And it was at a college, kind of a college party. I'll tell you the details and then you tell me, does this count or not as a college party? Okay.
Okay.
So through college, the beginning of college, I was working at a grocery store and I made friends with one guy in each department. There was a meat department guy. There was a produce department guy. I was the grocery department guy. And then there was a fish department guy. Right. So one of us from each we would have a party that we called a frat party once a week at this one guy, Anthony's house. But the thing is this, we were the only ones who showed up to these parties. It was a four guy party every single time. Sometimes one of their girlfriends would show up. Sometimes there'd be five or six people at these parties.
Mm-hmm.
Does that count as a frat party?
Was it a frat?
No, we made it up. We were like grocery store co-workers.
The grocery store frat. What was the name of the grocery store?
Stop and Shop.
Stop and Shop. Stop and Shop. Sounds like a frat. I'll allow it.
Yeah, and so we all went to college, not together, but like at the same school.
Yeah.
Like we didn't have any classes together. We didn't have any connection together, except we were all the same age doing college at the same time.
Yeah.
And we had what we called frat parties in this guy Anthony's basement all the time. And these frat parties, quote unquote frat parties, and we didn't even name our frat. Like, how pathetic is that? Like,
I think you should name it. And you should
name
pay $50 to put it in a book.
Yeah. I'm down. And we would do these parties in the basement, and it always was us drinking. Mm-hmm. Just disgusting amounts of whatever. Yeah. And one day someone brings out this bottle and he goes, this is 99 bananas. It's the greatest thing I've ever had. Have you had 99 bananas before?
Okay, so you clearly have not seen this show. It's okay. Previous episodes, not this season. This show, so Tommy Bechtold, comedian, actor, very funny guy. Beautiful person. He was co-hosting the beginning of this season, and we had a strong sense of, hey, 99 Bananas, sponsor this fucking show. So we did a pitch every single episode, and then we drank 99 Bananas, and yeah. I love 99
Bananas. So you're
bananas.
Aware.
Yeah.
Great.
If you come to my house, my wife and I have a bar that we set up downstairs. There's 99 bananas everywhere, or 99 raspberry, 99 grapes, 99 whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In my house, in almost every single room, except my daughter's room, you could find either a full or empty bottle of 99 bananas.
Ugh.
Yes. Ugh. Sorry. Continue.
No, it's fine. So we worked at the grocery store and we would buy everything that was discounted at the grocery store and figure out how to like add it into our like frat parties. Yeah. One day there was a pallet of wiffle ball bats and wiffle balls on sale from like $25 for the whole pallet to like $5. So we bought, I think, 25 wiffle ball bats, like a bunch of idiots do. And this guy, Anthony, his house was on the edge of the woods and he had ATVs. So we drank a lot of 99 bananas. My brain didn't realize 99 meant 99 proof. And it's so sugary. So it's just like, goes through you real quick. And so we chug 99 bananas. We get on the ATVs. We start like charging at each other with wiffle ball bats. So one hand is on the ATV, the other hand's on a wiffle ball bat. And so we were like knights. Right, whatever. You get the idea. It was really dumb. Yeah, but like the highlight for me was I got the most blackout drunk I've ever got because just chugging it all. And I fell asleep on Anthony's couch. And I woke up the next morning and my pants were off.
Oh.
And yeah, I was a little concerned at first until I realized why my pants were actually off. Do you have any guesses?
Your buddy JDO.
I thought that was my first thought. That's not what happened.
My only guess.
My guess, what I pieced together is while I was sleeping, I took my pants off because when I got up out of off his couch, I realized I shit all over his couch. And I think in my blackout stupor was like, oh, I don't have enough energy to get up. I don't want to shit my pants though. So I'll just take my pants off, shit on his couch, go back to sleep.
You can throw the underwear away. You're good.
You could, yeah, all the evidence was gone. I left and then drove to work, like started stocking one shelf, the first shelf. And I was like, I'm not even hungover. I'm still drunk.
Yeah. Those are the best.
And, ones. Yeah.
I'm still shitting. I'm like, I am still shitting. I'm not hungover. I am shitting myself still.
Yeah, I don't think I took a shower. I think I had no underwear on, or if I probably had shitty underwear. That was like the highlight of my college drinking life.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I feel like mine was fairly similar because I moved to Orlando because my aunt lived there. Shout out Jackie and my brother, Jay Poe. What up? They both lived there. So I was like, oh, I want to go somewhere warm. I know some people here. And then I met a bunch of people who went to UCF, University of Central Florida. And so my college parties was going to parties with these people who went to UCF while I was going to Art Institute of Pittsburgh online. Do not fucking go to Art Institute. Fuck that place. but yeah, so I have 1,000 college drinking stories, but none of them were about me going to that college except one. Because I used to think I was very cool. I went to Ringling School of Art and Design in Sarasota, Florida. Love that school. Somebody stole my shit. It's not on them. It's whatever. What are you going to do? So they're doing, this is all kids, 17, 18, whatever. And they're all art kids. That means they did not see the sun for the last like 5 years of their life. So they were doing the orientation and they had people in different circles. It wasn't a mandatory orientation. It was a, hey, let's get to know everybody. And at this point, I had already reached out to a ton of people on MySpace. And I was like, hey, we're going to college together. Let's be friends. Let's meet up when I get there. So, and I did that. And I met a bunch of the people. So I knew the orientation was happening. And I knew that it was a bunch of like weird fun and games and stuff. And I lived maybe like a 2-minute drive from the school. And at this point in my life, raspberry wheat beer was my jam. And I was like, fuck yeah. So what I did is I took my cargo shorts that I had on and I put 2 beers in one cargo pocket, 2 in another, 1 in each pocket. And I walked around campus while people are doing this orientation, just drinking beers, thinking I'm fucking cool with raspberry wheat beer. And to save myself in this situation, what they were doing for orientation, one of the things that they did was everyone got into groups of their birthday month. And then the person who worked at the school would say, who's born in January? And then everyone born in January gets up and starts going fucking insane. And I sat there on a bench and I just watched, drinking alone, just being like, I'm too cool for this. I think I might have had a bandana on at that time too, because that was really fucking cool. You know, 18-year-old art kid with raspberry wheat beer and his cargo shorts, sitting watching other people at orientation, being like, "You guys are fucking losers." And then I left the school and I never got to finish, and I should have, because I would have made a lot more money and been happier and.
My only kind of similar story, I dated someone and this was like age 23 and we would go to her, she was like 21 or 20, I don't remember, and we would go to her frat or like whatever parties they were, but we hated going to them. We sat in the corner judging everyone. Yeah. We came up with an outward. We had a secret code to get out of the party. And it was chicken noodle soup. So if in the normal course of conversation, someone said, chicken noodle soup, that meant we're leaving. But we never left. We would just do a bit of like, we'd get to the party, someone would be like, do you want a bottle of wine? We'd be like, no, but do you have some chicken noodle soup? And both of us would start laughing. And the host would be like, what the fuck is wrong with these two people? And so, yeah, I don't know. There's no punchline to that story. They're always just talking about chicken noodle soup. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, like, having like that word of, or the phrase of, we're getting the fuck out of here, but never sticking to it, being like,
yeah, no,
look how cool we are. We're saying chicken noodle soup and no one fucking gets it but us. And then nobody does anything about it. So it just, it loses all of its weight. I appreciate that.
It's funny, 'cause like my girlfriend is Jewish and Passover was a couple of days ago, and we went to a Seder. And I don't know, I didn't know, the coolest thing about Judaism to me came out that night is throughout the night you have to drink 4 glasses of wine. And so they're all about getting fucked up. And I was like, this is great. And the rabbi is like, more wine. If you don't drink 4 glasses of wine, you're done. You're not Jewish anymore. He wasn't being that big of a dick about it, but it was pretty funny. He after 2, he should have been. If I was a rabbi, I'd be like, this is the way. You can't do it any other way. Yeah. But we didn't even say chicken noodle soup. At just one point, she goes, I'm tired. And I said, I'm tired too. And we just left.
I do like that you hit that point where it's like, let's just get the fuck out of here. My wife and
we just walked up to the rabbi and we're like, we're done.
Yeah. See you later. I had 2 glasses. I'm out. I appreciate that. I didn't know. There's a lot about Judaism that I don't know. My wife is half Jewish. My mother-in-law is full-blown. My daughter's like, I think, 12% Jewish.
But like technically Jewish if she's born of Jewish mom, right? Or whatever.
Well, my wife is half Jewish, so I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works.
I don't either.
I don't care about Easter. I don't care about Thanksgiving. I don't care about whatever. But if there's a holiday where I'm supposed to drink 4 glasses of wine... Mm-hmm. Fucking sign me up.
Yeah. Why don't they put that in their like intro brochure?
Yeah. Do they hand out a brochure? They're like, okay, they do. You're born. Here's your brochure. Good luck.
You got a bris and a brochure on the same day.
Yep. You trade your skin. Here's a slice of paper. I like
that. I grew up Catholic. If we had more drinking holidays, I'd be still practicing Catholic. But no, we don't get the cool stuff like that.
Oh, you should meet my family. We somehow make every single holiday about nothing but drinking, and but also Jesus's blood is it's actually wine.
This is Jesus's blood.
Mm-hmm.
How are you enjoying it?
I'm liking it a lot more. Like the closer I get to the bottom.
How close are you?
Nope.
Oh my God, we're about tied.
About right here. Oh, twins.
Yeah, I got a little bit more than you, or a little less. I don't know.
I love that. I also had a fake ID when I was 17 and 18 in college, and I'm pretty sure I shared this story on the podcast before. There was an episode where we did Irish car bombs, and I don't fucking remember. Ever Maynard, hilarious comedian. They were on the show a few weeks ago and we talked about the Golden Bachelor and I was drinking whiskey out of a champagne flute. And I was just chugging it. And my wife told me after, she's like, I was very concerned watching you drink that much. So I don't remember what drinking story I shared with that or if I shared it after or whatever. But one other drinking story that I want to share for college, being very cool. So not only did I just have cargo shorts, okay? They were camouflage cargo shorts.
You're talking my language now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I've got this, my wife's PBR hat, because I wanted to look college. But I had, you know, the backwards trucker hat in college. And then I wore a bandana under it. So I had a bandana.
Oh, hold on. I got a bandana. I actually won this at bingo last night, so.
Oh, congrats. Ooh, Tito's. It's funny, I almost wore a Tito's shirt because I was trying to look as college as possible, and I figured backwards trucker hat, Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, the other way.
AirPods.
How's that?
Oh, there you go. That's very DJ Pauly D of you.
DJ Pauly D, wah, 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 wah.
Jim Tan Laundry. Those are the only things I know. So I had the bandana with the trucker hat backwards. I had the camouflage cargo shorts that typically had raspberry wheat beer in them. But I also wore, I know them as wife beaters because of pro wrestling. Yeah. That's what Vince McMahon always wore. The A shirts. The like tank top, Hanes undershirts. I had a gray one on, and I went to Applebee's. I took this girl to Applebee's she might have been 21 at the time. She was 21. I was 18. I had my brother's ID that said, I had two IDs. So I've got three brothers and I stole two of them. I had one that said I was 24, and then I had one that said I was 22. And the guy at Applebee's is like, I need your ID for, I was getting like probably raspberry wheat beer. Fuck me.
And, as you do.
So I hand the ID to him, and they're both expired, both ones that I owned. And the guy takes it and he goes, so what's your birthday? And I was like, it's 4/29/83. And he's like, do you want to try that again? I was like, 4/29/83. I don't get what's going on. And he goes, you got the wrong year. And I was like, fuck. Okay. So the guy handed me back my ID and still got me the beer. But he was like fucking with me. Like you fucked up. So 4/29/86, 7/16/83. So yeah, I had my oldest brother's birth year with the second oldest birth date.
Mm.
And I was just like, fuck, this girl probably thought I was 21, but I might've been 17 still.
Yeah.
No, I was 18. I was 18. Cause I wouldn't do that to a 21 year old. That's gross. So I just remember being like, I'm at a fucking Applebee's. I just pulled that out of my fucking ass. And then it's like, where do you go from there? You just, let me get the queso chimis, and I'm clearly not ordering another beer. Yeah, college is fun. College is fun. So
my only ID story is way less boring, or way more boring.
It's way less boring?
Less event.
Was that?
It's way, No.
Did I share very boring story?
I'm a little drunk right now, if I'm being honest. That was a good story. I, a few years ago, had just moved from New York to here and got my California license, but they didn't mail it to me yet. So what they do in California, and I don't know if they do this everywhere, but they just took a hole puncher and just slammed it through my fucking Brooklyn, my New York ID. Yep. And I was like, ugh. And I went to a Dodgers game and I was like, can I have a Mango Cart Golden Road? And they're like, of course. And they handed it to me.
That's all we have, asshole.
That's all. That's all we drink. We have Mango Carts for $27 and we have Micheladas for $47. Those are your two options.
Mm-hmm.
I have to like second guess myself.
The Michelada is probably a 24-ounce can, and the whole ring around the can is dirty.
Yeah, it was the one time I ever got one. I ordered it wrong, and I said, "Can I have a Michelada?" And the woman harassed me at.
And,
I said it wrong, and I was like, "But anyway, so I have my hole punched ID," and he goes, "Can I see your ID?" And I show it to him. And he called his manager over. This is only like a year or two ago when I was like 36 years old. So I wasn't like some little dumb 17-year-old boy trying to like score beer. And
Applebee's, yeah.
Yeah. And he goes, I'll sell you this beer, but don't ever do something like this again. And I was just like, oh, and then he goes, enjoy the game. That was it. That was the whole story. Yeah.
I love that. It's, yeah, it's so funny. You know, still, I will, my wife and I will sometimes, like, if we get, like, coupons at Ralph's, but it's only one per customer, we'll kind of divide shit. It's like, oh, Jameson's on sale, but you only get $4 off per person. So my wife will, mm-hmm. will go, or, oh, this is what I'm trying to get at. I have gone first. I show my ID, 35-year-old boy. Cool. Thank you. Blah, blah, blah. They know we're together. We have divided. We have one cart that we have both divided items onto the belt. And the person will be like, can I have your ID for my wife? And I'm like, do you think I'm 35 with a 20-year-old with a child in our basket?
Yeah.
Like in our cart. I mean, we have almost a 1-year-old child, which would mean mm-hmm. she was 19 July. When I got with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then other times I'm like, sometimes I do just want to be ID'd because it's fun to feel cute.
It feels nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to admit something very embarrassing right now. During lockdown. Or just like at the end of lockdown or begin. I don't even remember what time it is anymore. Anyway, I was like 33. Oh, this was pre-lockdown then. I'm doing the math in my head. I was 33. I was dating a 23-year-old because it was just fun sexually, if we're being honest. And whatever. She's a consenting adult. She made a decision. I said, this is fun. She said, this is fun.
She wasn't and then, that drunk.
She wasn't that drunk.
That's just, yikes. I'm just joking, everyone who's listening and watching. I was trying to make Ronnie uncomfortable. But yeah, I mean,
it made me.
Yeah, it's total fine age gap.
It's fine. Yeah, it wasn't my, like, but it was solely based on it's a hookup relationship, right? Like, we were just like, we're Tinder buddies. We fuck and the blah blah. One day I was like, what if we go on a real date? And I don't know why this is what I decided what a real date was, but we went to a burlesque show that had some stand-up comedians in it, and
that's fine.
Someone did crowd work up top, and they said, they're like, I don't remember who they asked first, but they, one of the comics asked one of us our age. I think we'll just say for the sake of the story, it was me. They were like, how old are you, sir? And I was like, 33. And they're like asking me questions about my life, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple comics later, someone goes, they pointed to my date, my girlfriend, whatever our label was. And they're like, how old are you?
Yeah.
And she said, I'm 23. And then no one said anything about it. And then a couple comics later, someone did the math. He's like, you're 33. She's 23. That's disgusting. And then they went on this whole riff about how much of a pedophile I was.
And that made you want to keep doing stand-up?
I hadn't started stand-up yet.
Oh, that was the moment where you were like, I'm going to do this to someone else.
This is doing crowd work is miserable. If I don't write it all down, I'm not doing that show.
Yeah, my stand-up is very much word for word written down because I know what I find funny. And you know, Matt Reif, I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
He is nothing but a crowd work comic. And his crowd work kind of makes me want to sit at a show because he's sweet about it, whatever. Does he have any jokes? No, he doesn't have a single fucking joke. But
no,
crowd work is his thing. Crowd work is not my thing. If you put me in a bar, I can meet a bunch of people. We'd have fun, whatever. I'm out. Have a drink with me. Used to be a live comedy show at Surly Goat in West Hollywood back in 2016. Crowd work was great because I invited the people there. So it's like, I know who's there and I know how to talk to them and stuff. Crowd work sucks. And to be called out at stand-up just makes me not want to be there because I'm not part of this. You tell a joke. You do your jokes. I'll be here. I'll laugh when you do tell a joke. But you stay there. You let me do my thing. But yeah, I mean, that sucks. It sucks that you were in that situation, yeah. But it's also very funny. I would have loved to see that happen to someone else.
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't my proudest moment, but yeah. You know what? We're alive still. It's funny, like, I did improv from 2011 to 2020, and that was like, I was like, this is my thing. And mm-hmm. then at beginning of, or end of 2019, I was like, stand-up is actually my thing.
Yeah.
I'm so quick-witted, but I like figured out like I actually like stand-up way better. Like stand-up doesn't give me the anxiety, but to like go back in my brain, the first stand-up shows I ever saw in real life were just so bad. Like my brother and I went to a show in New Haven, Connecticut, and there's one club in town. I don't even know if it's still there. And we're sitting there, and this group of strippers comes in off of their shift, and they're sitting on the stage left. And every single comic did crowd work, making fun of these strippers. And yeah. I'm just like, who fucking cares? They're strippers doing their job. Yeah. They're providing a service, all this other shit. Of the 10 comics who went up, 10 of them did crowd work about strippers being weird or mm-hmm. whatever words they were using. And I'm just like, why is this comedy? It's not comedy.
Yeah, I feel like you and I have a very similar outlook on comedy, what it should be and what we expect. Because we're kind of the same way. I did improv first. I did mm-hmm. improv. I did UCB for 3 years, and I was like, this is my fucking thing. I'm up on stage. people are telling me, hey, here's your word, and I can immediately be like, oh, I know something about that word, blah, 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 whatever, play this, play that, and I loved it. And then I decided, look, I've been on the stage, I have, like, crippling anxiety holding a microphone, doing stand-up, but also doing improv. Did I get second place doing karaoke on a cruise carnival? Carnival Cruise, September 2022. Yes, I fucking did.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
It really does come down to the crowd work with that. That's when you do crowd work.
Mm-hmm.
But then doing Have a Drink With Me Live and doing stand up there, I loved it. So I always was like, improv is my thing. Quick wit is my thing. I like to joke about whatever was just said rather than, hey, all you fucking strangers, this is something I find funny. Will you find it funny with me? And I, the more stand up I see, the more it really is like crowd work. Hey, what are you fucking doing here? Hey, you fucking suck. Hey, you stink, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's you like, suck ass.
Yeah, there's no jokes. And
yeah,
I'm doing stand up in a few weeks. This is my big return, and I'll probably not do it for a while. But I have all my jokes written, and
mm-hmm.
I have even written how my crowd work is going to go because I wrote jokes into how my crowd work is going to go. But mm-hmm. I wrote it that can fit literally anyone in the crowd, not a, mm-hmm. oh, you got a fucking teenager with you. You know, it's a crazy thing. And my wife loves stand up and she, you know, she wants to go see shows. And I'm like, I just don't care for it. Cause nobody is a very blanket statement. And I don't mean to do it. I don't see enough comedians doing jokes. It's a lot of, hey, this is a funny thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Do you think it's funny? No, I wasn't fucking there. I'm not Rebecca. I wasn't there when Rebecca farted. Whatever. I don't get it. And then crowd work where it's like, yeah, oh, yuck. And then it's the crowd work of like, no, I don't want to be involved in your show. You tell me jokes and I'm going to fucking laugh. Or you just tell jokes about something I wasn't involved in and then I don't fucking get it. And then it's like, cool, I just sit here like this. With that said, we are at the end of the show, but you have a great joke that I really appreciate about dating someone kind of like a restless sleeper who wrestles you in your sleep and you wake up in headlocks to the point where you have to tap out. And I was uh-huh. like, yes, I like where this is going. And then it gets to the morning. Ronnie, you haven't touched your breakfast. Like, what's going on? You don't want to snap into a Slim Jim. And that's a great joke. Great fucking joke.
Thank you.
I didn't have to be there to get it. You didn't have to fucking make fun of me and my backwards PBR hat and my red shirt to get a laugh. It's a great joke.
Thank you.
Ronnie, where can we find you on social media?
Everywhere at Ronnie Pascal, Instagram, TikTok, if it's not banned by the time you watch this, YouTube.
They're watching it literally right now. This is a live stream.
Yeah, no, I know, but if like someone is like, ooh, what is humanity? And like in 1,000 years, they're like going back and watching humanity.
Oh, they finally dig up the archives of have a drink.
Yeah, if we're dead by the time you're watching this, and oh, I finished actually. I have one sip left. I'm glad you like that joke because my girlfriend hates that joke.
I think it's a great joke. It's very clever.
Thanks. It's relatable, I think.
It's the test of time because Macho Man Randy Savage is still, he died in 2015. He is still on the packaging for Slim Jims.
Oh my God. See?
Still.
See, I should tell Yelena, if you're watching this, he's still on the package for Slim Jims.
Or I saw an old package of Slim Jims at Big Lots on Sunday. So let's plug Roast Yourself again. So how can people find Roast Yourself, get tickets, whatever? How do we get them there?
So Roast Yourself is once a month, every fourth Tuesday at the Clubhouse in LA. But if you're not in Los Angeles, I am going to start posting the footage of the old ones. So if you're anywhere else, you could do that. But if you are in LA, you could go on Eventbrite and get tickets. The tickets are free because the venue is a nonprofit. Yeah. If you want to give me money while you're there, you're allowed to, but I can't charge you ticket prices. But if you're just like, oh, you deserve money for your troubles, and I do need money for my troubles, you could give it to me.
And you can give Ronnie $50 and he will read your poem on stage.
Yeah. Or I'll write a poem about you on stage.
Either or. So when you do post this, you'll post it on Ronnie Pascal. If you do change where it's posted, Ronnie Pascal at Ronnie Pascal is going to post it. I appreciate you joining the show. This is super fun. We are out and about.
We are out, so, like literally out.
Literally out. Yeah.
There it is.
I can wet the tongue a little bit. Thank you everybody for joining in, watching, listening, wherever you are. Follow the show on social media at HADWM. Follow me on social media at I'm Dylon, IMDIELAWM. And WN. I think I said M.
You did say M.
Yeah. If people don't realize I'm Dylon is my thing at this fucking point, then you're you're not a true fan. But see everybody next week. I think we're going to have the cast and crew of The Disinvited, a new horror film that's going to be really fucking cool. I designed their logo and their poster. So you got to fucking watch.
You got to watch that.